Well, hi, everybody. It is good to be here with you today. I am Angela Bias. I have the honor of being one of the pastors here at The Crossing. I spend my time at Grants Trail as their campus pastor in South County. So you're going to have to let me do a little love bombing here. Grants Trail, I love you. I'll be with you next week. Also, I want to say hi to Fenton and Mid Rivers and those in the Hub and Overflow and those watching online. It is good to be together for the last time this year. But after this, it'll be next year. So if you were with us on Christmas Eve, you saw that Greg did, you know, the little vote where he was hoping everyone said Christmas lights is their favorite part of Christmas. Do you remember that? So there's conversations that happen in my family that go a little deeper than that. So I thought I would take a poll. So at the campuses, in the Hub, y'all participate too, but I want to take a poll. You might settle some things for me and my family. So Christmas lights, white or colored? White? White? Colored? Yeah, these are people after my own heart. Okay, fake tree, real tree? Fake tree? Okay. Real tree? All right, that's a hill my husband will die on. This has always been what we've done. If you were at the service where fruitcake beat out Christmas lights, does anyone here eat fruitcake? What? Where do you get it? Deerberg's? Okay, I'll have to try that out. Yeah. Eggnog? Yes to eggnog? No? No to eggnog? Oh, come on. All right. Okay, well, it has been fun to be together during this Christmas season. We've talked about a lot of things. We've talked about this good news, the angel who showed up, who said, I have great news that will bring great joy for all people. And what we talked about is the angel showed up to possibly the most unlikely people of all, shepherds. Now, shepherds were people who were out in the field taking care of sheep, and they were actually considered unclean because of the work they had to do, which meant they couldn't even worship in the temple with everyone else. Not who we may have chosen to bring good news to, but this is who they brought that good news to. And what was the good news? Well, here's what we learned the good news is. There is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time. This is good news. There's a mediator who came to reconcile us to God, something we could not do for ourselves. And then in Ephesians, more good news. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you've been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. So this is great news that these shepherds received. And it's still good news today, and that's what we want to talk about. This is still good news. And this is why at Christmas we paused and did all those Christmas services. This is why we had people who spent hours rehearsing so that the service was good. People came in and decorated all of our rooms and made them so beautiful, showed up to sit with kids so that parents could come to services, parked cars, welcomed people in. We did this because we believe this is good news. And so now, as the Christmas season comes to an end, and some of us are sitting in the afterglow of being with family and friends, or maybe just experiencing some quiet, or you may just be relieved it's over because Christmas is a hard time and you're just ready to move on and get back into routine. Maybe you're excited the kids are going back to school, or maybe you're excited that you get to go back to school. Wherever we are, what we need to know is this is still good news. This is not good news that we just pause once a year to talk about or to share. This is good news that was meant to change the world. It was meant to impact everything. In fact, every person in the Christmas story or every person who you see encounter Jesus, they were never the same. Their lives were never the same. So this can't be something that we just do once a year. As we move into the new year, we have to still look at this good news. So the good news is God's always been at work, always been involved in the lives of his people. So what we're going to do is we're going to back up and look at an old story in the Old Testament Because I think we have a lot to learn from four other very unlikely people who changed the course of history with good news. But first, will you pray with me? So Jesus, we thank you. Thank you that you came as a mediator to do for us what we could not do for ourselves, to reconcile us with God. We thank you that once we were far, but now we can be near to you. I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you'll speak to us in a special way today as we acknowledge this good news of who you are. Amen. All right, so we're going to look at this good news and what these people from the Old Testament and even shepherds in the Christmas story, what do they have to say to us? So this is, we're going to back all the way up to 2 Kings. The year is 850 BC around then, and Israel's at war. An enemy has come and put them under siege, which means the attack they're doing is they've cut off the city so that no food can come in and out. So Samaria was a very strong city, and instead of just trying to bust through it, they said, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to cut off anyone from coming or going, and we'll just starve them out. And so the people of God are inside their city starving. And they can't let the gates down and let the enemy in, because that means for sure most of them would die or be carried off into slavery. So they're in a very difficult situation. They're starving. The Bible tells us that they were buying donkey heads for a very high price. They were even eating dove droppings. And you think eggnog's bad. They were paying a high price for dove droppings. So the king is walking around inside the city under siege. No one can come, no one can go. And he's seeing the desperation of his people, seeing the horrific things that they're trying to do just to survive. And he gets desperate in despair. And he's like, this has to be from God. This has to be God's fault. He's brought calamity on us. I don't even know if I can hope in him anymore. And then we read about these four guys. In 2 Kings 7, now there were four men with leprosy sitting at the entrance of the city gates. Now, what does leprosy, what is that? This is four men who were considered lepers. Well, leprosy was actually a skin disease that affects your nervous system. As we understand it in modern history, in modern day, in modern medicine, what it does is it affects the nerve endings of all of your body. You can see it. It's a skin rash that appears. In biblical times, though, what it meant was any kind of skin rash they called leprosy, because they didn't understand the difference. And this was a dreaded and feared disease because it was very contagious, and it meant devastating things for your life if you were considered having leprosy, if you had any kind of skin thing showing on your body. What it meant was, first of all, you were completely shunned by your family. Everyone was so afraid to catch it that what it said was, once you had this, then you were completely shunned. You couldn't live with your family. You couldn't go to work. You couldn't worship in the temple, because they also considered you spiritually unclean. They didn't understand this disease at all, so they had decided this must be a curse from God. This must be a consequence of your sin. So to have leprosy meant that you were completely shunned out of, you couldn't have a job. You couldn't go to the market. Their best hope was to beg for survival, to beg for food for survival. So here, these four lepers are outside the city gate because they were shunned. They were outcast, and they have to decide what they're going to do. So here's what they say. Why should we sit here waiting to die? They asked each other. We will starve if we stay here, but with the famine in the city, we will starve if we go back there. So we might as well go out and surrender to the Aramean army. If they let us live, so much the better. But if they kill us, we would have died anyway. So this is pretty good logic, don't you think? They're like, even if food arrives, we're going to be the last to receive it. So we can kind of make a decision on if we want to sit here and starve, if we want to take our chances and let the enemy kill us. So that's what they decide to do. At twilight, they set out for the camp of the Arameans. And when they came to the edge of the camp, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the Aramean camp to hear the clatter of speeding chariots and the galloping of horses and the sounds of a great army approaching. The king of Israel has hired the Hittites and Egyptians to attack us, they cried to one another. So they panicked and ran into the night, abandoning their tents, horses, donkeys, and everything else as they fled for their lives. When the lepers arrived at the edge of the camp, they went into one tent after another, eating and drinking wine, and they carried off silver and gold and clothing and hid it. Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. This is the biggest plot twist ever. These guys decide we're going to have a little bit of say in how we die. We're the least of the least anyway. We're going to starve anyway, so let's go. And when they arrive, thousands of soldiers have run away because God had done a miracle. And they go and they enjoy and they eat and they gather and they decide that, man, this is awesome. God showed up. Our terrible life is over. But something else was happening at exactly the same time in this story. God had shown up. The enemy was gone. The siege was over, but no one in the city knew. They were still living as if the enemy were surrounding them. They were still putting their children in bed at night, starving, praying for a miracle, the miracle that had already happened. They just didn't know. And so when these lepers had had their fill and did all this, they finally said, "This is not right. This is the day of good news, and we aren't sharing it with anyone." Now, you almost think they had a right not to share it with anyone. They were shunned. They were outcast. They had been left to starve at the city gate by their family and friends, couldn't enter the temple, couldn't even go into the city. You would think that they might go, "Well, we were shunned anyway." But they're like, "No, we're going to go back. We're going to share this good news that the war is over." So they go back, they call out to the gatekeeper because that's all they can do. They can't go in the city and talk to anyone else. So they tell the gatekeeper this good news that it's over, and it changes the course of history. It changes the course of everything that's happening. Now, this sounds familiar, doesn't it? This most least likely messengers receiving the message. Because centuries later, you have these shepherds who receive good news. They also are outcast. And here's what it says about them. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. Astonished probably at the news. God had been silent for 400 years. They were waiting generation after generation after generation for this moment to happen. Astonished that it was possibly here, but probably also astonished at the messengers. So after all that time, God gives shepherds the message, maybe astonished at that. So I want us to pause. We like to talk to each other around here. So think of a time when you received good news that changed everything. Maybe it was a good medical report. Maybe it was a baby's gonna be born. Maybe I passed my class. Maybe my kid passed his class. Maybe a 16-year-old who drove somewhere for the first time and made it safe. Whatever it is, think of a time when you received good news that changed things. Talk about that. Okay. All right, so now I heard you talking. What was some of the good news that you were talking about? What's good news that you've received? Anybody? What?
Becoming a mom and then a grandma.
Becoming a mom and then a grandmom. Guys, I've gotten that every service, and here's what I want to tell you. Having kids is great. Having grandkids is greater. And I say this, I know some of my kids are watching, and I want to say, hey, I love you guys. I just love your kids more. Sorry. I know, I can't lie. But so a couple years ago, my husband and I were with our two little cousin grandsons, and one of them wouldn't share his toy with the other one, and I didn't make him. I was like, okay. And my husband finally goes, honey, he's got to learn how to share. And I said, not my problem. I did my time. My kids share. And then my son asked me once, he goes, Mom, whose side are you on? And I was like, his side. This, I get to be a grandparent. This is good news. So we like receiving good news, don't we? And all through the history of God with his people, he shows up sometimes at the darkest, bleakest times, right? When we think all hope is gone, when we think we've got to figure this out for ourselves, but don't know how. Like this king who was like, I don't know how this is going to go. And God shows up. I would love to go back in time and show up and sit next to those four lepers as they're trying to decide whether to stay there and starve or go to the enemy. I would love to show up and go, hey, guys, you're not going to starve. You're not going to be killed by the enemy. In fact, you're about to save your whole city. You're going to be part of how the whole war is going to end. You're about to do what no one else can do. What do you think they would say to me? Girl, you have lost your mind. You don't know who you're talking to, is what they would say. We are weak. We have no provision. We have no influence. We are the least of the least of the least. The king doesn't even know how to end this thing. We are the least of the least who could be part of how God's going to save our city, how the war is going to come to an end. They can't imagine what was coming. And what if I sat next to you and I said, hey, God wants to use you in his story of what's happening. God is inviting you into the story of how he wants things to change, of how he wants to impact the world. There are people who do not know that a Savior came for them, that there's a way to be reconciled to God, that he came to do for them what they could not do, cannot do for themselves. What if we said to you, you're invited into the story? And you might say, I'm the least of the least. I have nothing to offer. Here's what Paul said. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. This is good news. And all of this is a gift of God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. Can I have an amen? Amen. Good news. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we, my friends, are Christ ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never knew sin, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made with God, right with God through Christ. If you have received Christ as your Savior, if you have experienced this reconciling joy and hope and peace, if you can say, I once was lost, but now I'm found. There was an old me, and now there's a new me. Then you're meant to be an ambassador. You're meant to join the story. You're meant to come in. If you've not yet made that decision, if you're just watching or joining us, asking questions and wondering if it could be true, I want to invite you to ask
the people who do know Christ. Ask them their story. Ask them what the good news is. Ask them what their old life was and what their new life is. We're meant to do this together. And when we stop, like the lepers, and we say, this isn't right, this is good news, and I can't keep it to myself, or like shepherds who can't help ourselves but run around and tell people this amazing good news. Often it's the least likely people. Let me tell you about a couple of people just in my life who I know who would have considered themselves the least likely to make an impact. So we had friends, Chris and Kathy, who we went to college with, stayed close, and there came a time when their five-year-old son was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And suddenly they were in the fight for their lives, the fight for their son's life. And so they spent the next months and years doing surgeries, getting treatment, dealing with setbacks, and the consequences of the treatments and all that, and fighting for his life, good news, bad news, hope, despair, all of it. And what they can tell you is through it all, they felt the presence of God with us. One of my favorite lines in a Christmas song that we sing is, "And we will never face life alone now that God has made himself known." And that's what they can say. The thing is, the truth is, the good news in those moments is he was always with us. He always gave us some kind of hope and peace. So their son survived, but because of the surgeries and the effects on the brain and the medications and the treatments, he was not the same ever again. And so my friend Kathy, what she did is she became a spokesperson. She created a foundation where she spent her days walking through the hospital, walking with families whose children had brain tumors. She went to more funerals in a month than I've been to in my lifetime. She saw children get well. She walked with parents when they didn't get well, when the effects were devastating. She was with them because she had lived something and had hope to offer, had something to offer. Years ago, I got the opportunity to walk with her for a day through the children's hospital as she did her thing. And we went from one room to another and just seeing the fight and the pain and the despair and the hope and seeing all of it. And as I'm walking down the hall, about middle of the day, I was like, God, this is hard. Where are you? And then I look up and I see my friend Kathy turning to go into a room. And I just felt like God said to my heart, I'm right there. See, this is my ambassador. This is my ambassador. I'm present because she's present. And then I have family and friends who have become foster parents. Because they're like, what we have to offer, the news we want to communicate is you can be safe and you can be loved and you can be cared for. So sometimes short-term, sometimes long-term, they take in children and just say, I'm just going to offer what I have, and it's love. I know of a couple who, in their empty nest years, they kept newborn babies until a family was they were placed in a family to be adopted. Now, get your head around this. Empty nesters who can sleep all night long, taking newborns until they're adopted. And they did that for years. But here's what people would always say to her as she carried those babies around. They would say, oh, I would love to do that, but my heart would break when I had to give them up. My heart would just break when I had to give them back. And she finally started saying, oh, my heart breaks. My heart breaks every time. I let myself get attached to these babies. I love these babies, but so I'm not going to love a baby because my heart might break. I'm not going to take in a child and let them be safe because it might be uncomfortable for my family. So I'm not going to go share news with a coworker because they might think I'm weird. I'm not going to put my neck out there and say something because people might misunderstand. No, there's a lot at stake for those who haven't yet heard. There's a lot at stake when we have something to offer and we say, it's not right for me to keep this to myself. I have to share it. Sometimes it's simply how you live your life. I don't know if you've ever encountered someone who it's like, how did they forgive that? How did they get through that? How does she have peace when her circumstances are that? And we're literally drawn to some people before they ever say a word, We see the good news living out in their lives, and people are drawn to it before they open their mouths and say where it's coming from. They're ambassadors just in how they live their lives. So for real quick, I want you to talk to each other again. Have you ever known someone like that? It's like because of your life, it might be a teacher or a parent or a neighbor or the person sitting next to you, whoever it is, has there been someone in your life where you're like, I'm drawn to Christ just because of how you live your life? Share that with each other real quick. Okay, I hope you've got those people in your life. This is who we want to be. These are the people we want to be. So all through the story, there's good news. There's God showing up. There's grace. There's hope. There's peace that his people find as he enters their story. You may not realize it, but we talk about that all the time around here. And here's how we say it. Together, we get to come and experience grace. We get to extend grace to one another. We experience this amazing grace that comes from a Savior who loves us, from a God who wants to step into our story. And we get to come week after week and do that together. And then we get to explore truth. When we go and we say, I'm going to go deeper now. I want to explore truth with you. And we do it through classes and through small groups and Bible studies, and we go deeper and deeper in our faith, and we store up this great treasure in our hearts, and it's good. I mean, we feel like the plot twist is great, and we receive, like these lepers did, we receive good things, and our faith grows, and our joy expands, and this is good for us. But one of the reasons, let me tell you, why I was drawn to this church is because we don't stop there. We don't say, this is so good for us, let's keep doing those, although we keep doing those things. We also want to express love. Want to express love to those who have maybe never heard. If you were here at Christmas, you saw or maybe you participated in what we do with our partners with Living Water. And we help to provide clean water for those we will never meet. And good sanitation, and they hear the gospel. This is why we gather backpacks for children when school starts. This is why we do food drives. We're expressing love to those outside our walls because this is what we're called to do. Here's what it says in Galatians. What is important? It's faith expressing itself in love. Expressing love is what we're called to do because great love is what we have received. My little granddaughter was sitting in the back seat talking to her sister not too long ago, and my son was driving. And you know how they kind of forget you're there, and they'll talk to each other, and I mean, you're real quiet, so they'll keep talking. Well, they were talking, and she was talking about a little boy in her classroom who is difficult, and picks on her, and he gets in trouble all the time. She finally took a deep breath, and she said, when I have God vision, I love him. When I don't have God vision, I do not love him. And so she said it really clear. We want to have God vision, right? We want to express love, that it goes outside of ourselves and outside of our walls. This is right and good. And it often, with lepers and with shepherds, we think we're the most unlikely. Well, let me tell you another story that's actually from my life when I found myself as the most unlikely person to be part of what God was doing in someone's life. When I was in sixth grade, my grandfather died. And this was the first time I experienced losing someone who was really important to me and felt the grief of that. But it was also the first time that I understood the hope of eternity. Because my grandfather was a man who loved Jesus, talked about Jesus, sang about Jesus, prayed with me, showed me things in the Bible. He was in love with Jesus. And so at the same time, I experienced this joy and grief of our loss, but realizing, oh, this is not the end. I mean, we will see him again. There's that hope of eternity. And so a few weeks later, again, I was thinking about that, and I thought about my other grandfather who was still living. I had never seen him read a Bible. I'd never heard him say the name of Jesus. I'd never seen him go to church. So I thought, gosh, I don't know where he stands, and I don't know what to do about it. So I said a prayer in my young sixth grader heart and just prayed for him. And so the next time we were together, I didn't know what it was, but I know now it was a prompting of the Holy Spirit. I had a feeling that I should just ask him, just simply ask him. And so I was sitting next to him on the couch, my heart about to beat out of my chest, my hands were sweaty, and I was like, I don't know if I can do that. And so I said to myself, and maybe it was a little prayer, I said, okay, if I am the only one in the room with him, then I'll do that. Within 30 seconds, everyone stood up and walked out of the room, but me and him. And so I asked him, I said, hey, granddaddy, you're my only granddaddy now. And he said, oh, I know, honey, so sorry you lost your papa. And I said, yeah, but I'm going to see him again. And what I want to know is when you're gone, do I know that I'll see you again? Have you received Jesus as your Savior? Do you know him? Long pause. And he said, no, honey, I don't know. And I told no one. And I just left it at that. Then you fast forward several years, and now I'm living overseas, and I get a phone call. Now, let me explain what a phone call meant back then. There was no email. There was no text messages. Some of you have never experienced this, but you had to be at home to get a phone call. And the person who called you had to be at home or in a building where there was a phone. So especially overseas with time difference, that was not easy. And so my mom called me. We found each other. And she was letting me know that my grandfather was probably within days of passing in the hospital. She said, we don't think you can get home in time, but we just wanted you to know. And I said, okay, Mom, I need to tell you what happened. And I told her about that conversation that we had. And so she, later that day, was in his room with him. Again, found herself alone with him. And she said, Granddaddy, Angela, we talked to Angela. She loves you, you know, sends her love. You've been a wonderful grandfather. She said, but she told me about a conversation you probably won't remember that the two of you had when my dad died. And he interrupted her, and he said, I remember. And she said, well, we'd love to know now. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you know that you'll spend eternity with him? And now tears rolling down his face. And he said, no, I don't know that. And she said, would you like to receive Jesus as your Savior? It is not too late. And so right there with him on that hospital bed, he did that. And she prayed with him. And then the craziest thing happened. He actually got well enough to come home for a couple months. I got to come home to see him. And it was so sweet to see him ask certain people to forgive him. He got baptized. He memorized the Ten Commandments. We were like, I mean, is that okay? But it was important to him. So he memorized the Ten Commandments. But most of all, what happened is we saw the shame and regret melt away. We saw anger disappear. And what we saw in its place was a peace and a joy and a contentment that took its place. And just because a little sixth grader asked a question, probably the most unlikely person. And so the whole reason I tell you this story is because it can be really simple. Not always easy, but simple. And so where do we even start? We start like this. Hey, God, I'm available. I'm available. Tell me when I need to say a word or extend an invitation or give forgiveness or invite someone in or even to move in and say, let me tell you how I got through. Let me tell you where I found peace. We start there and when that prompting comes, we do it. You take that risk with sweaty palms and a beating heart. You just take that risk. You see, God's been at work all through the Bible, through his people. Always has invited people into the story. You look at Abraham all the way back in Genesis, and God said to Abraham, I'm gonna bless the entire earth through you. You look at three guys in the book of Daniel, Daniel 3, where these three guys who maybe you've heard about, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're exiled, not living in their homeland. And the king says, people have to bow to me, and they take their stand and say, we bow our knee to no one but our God. And it's gonna cost them their life. And when they will not bow, the king of that land said to them, what God do you think can save you from my power? They won't bend. God spares them of being burned to death. And on the other side of that, now this was a great day for these guys, but it was part of a bigger story. Because on the other side of that, that same king made a decree to his entire kingdom. And he said this, there's no God who can save like this one. He went from what God can save you to holy cow, there's no God who can save like this one, because three young men took a stand because they had good news about a God who rescues. And then you have Moses, who got to take part of delivering his people from a terrible life of slavery. And you have Elijah, who got to take part of God showing up in a blaze of power. And you have Esther, who was perfectly positioned to save her people from total annihilation. And then you have the whole Christmas story where Mary, this young girl, says, I don't understand, but yes, I'm your servant, I'll do that. And you have Joseph, who trusts that he's being told the truth in spite of the evidence that looked contrary to that. Then Jesus walked the earth, and one by one, he invited people into the story, and he said, follow me, I'm gonna teach you how, and then I want you to go. I want you to take the news. I want you to go to the ends of the earth. And one day Jesus waited by a well for an outcast, for a woman who came at a time when no one else would be there because she was an outcast. And Jesus waited for her. And she encountered him, and she went from a woman who didn't want to see anyone to going through the whole village telling them, I've found the Messiah. I met a guy, and almost the whole village, many in that village come, and they recognize him as the Messiah because of this outcast who couldn't help but share the good news. And then you have the story of Jesus at a wedding, and his first miracle happens at this wedding. And when it's about to happen, Jesus' mother gives the best advice of all to the servants there. She says, do whatever he tells you to do. Just do whatever he tells you to do. And so what he tells these servants to do, he says, go fetch water. That's not exciting, but okay. So they go and they fetch water. And with that water, Jesus performs his first miracle, which was a great day for the wedding, but it's, again, part of a bigger story. What the Bible tells us is this was the moment that Jesus revealed his glory and his disciples believed in him. And their part to play was to fetch water. It doesn't always have to be the big, grand thing. Sometimes it's so simple. You just do what he tells you to do, and you trust. Now, for each of these people, it doesn't mean that life got easy. It doesn't mean that it was all hunky-dory after that. If you look at Moses, for example, he led this whining nation through the wilderness. Have you ever traveled with whiny children? He had a whole nation of them that he led after that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were still exiled. Elijah ran for his life after that great display of power because an evil queen was still on the throne. Mary and Joseph packed up their baby boy because his life was at risk, and they ran away. You have people who lived hard things but said, "This is my God." The lepers screamed the news to the gatekeepers. They just couldn't keep it to themselves. So what is this great treasure that we carry? It says inside of like clay jars. What is this great treasure that we carry? That a God shows up? Yes. That a Savior came for us, yes. That there's a better way to do life where shame and regret melt away, yes. But here's the best news. You get Jesus. You get Jesus. It's actually a love story where you realize that you are loved more than you ever dreamed. Where you realize that I can love him back without risk of condemnation. I get to love him back because this is a love story that he's invited me into. This is what I want others to know. I think about the song that we sang earlier, and it's kind of my anthem for my life because I've seen God show up in a very personal way. As long as I have breath, I'm going to share it. I'm going to share it because for many reasons, but as the mother of a 29-year-old disabled son, I've needed that peace. I've needed that hope. We've had good news. We've had bad news. We've had prayers answered. We've got prayers that aren't yet answers, maybe not be answered, but we've had a sustaining, loving Savior who's walked us through, and I have personally found him to be faithful, and I want people to know. So when the angel came to say there's good news of great joy, before that, the angel said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And maybe for you, that's the word you need to hear. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid you're going to miss it. Don't be afraid that you're going to not be heard or do it wrong or get it off track. Don't be afraid. Just say a simple prayer. God, I'm available. And then you do start with the most simple thing. Come with me. Come with me to my church. Come with me to this class. Let me share with you what he's done for me. Maybe it's extending forgiveness from someone you've withheld it from. What's the next step to take? Don't be afraid. Or maybe the good news that others need to hear is don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Maybe you've not been told the truth about who this God is. He's a God who loves you. He didn't come to condemn. He came to offer hope and freedom and a new way of life. Starting next week, we're going to do a series. We're going to take a deep dive look at who Jesus is. It's going to be, you're going to find some things that maybe you didn't know before, but a lot of things that maybe someone else needs to know. Don't be afraid. Come with me in here. Come with me together. Let's discover who this Jesus is. Here's the great news. There's a God who's at work. It's for all people. And we're each invited in to be part of it. May we be faithful ambassadors of a God who loves every single person you'll ever look at very well. We love you. We'll see you next year, where we'll continue this conversation. Happy New Year.